There are those who have made a profession of faith but are faltering, ready to turn away from that profession. They truly haven't been saved yet. They haven't trusted Christ. May it never be that our wheel tracks cause them not to be spiritually healed. Folks, our lives are a testimony to those around us. We've run the risk of stumbling people.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio broadcast ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today your message reveals some important reasons why our testimony for Christ matters.
You know, Dave, I think we often underestimate the importance of living a righteous life through faith in Christ. It's not just for our own spiritual health and growth, but God also uses the testimony of Christ in us to impact those around us. So with this in mind, today from the book of Hebrews, we're going to see why maintaining a good testimony is so important. Our text is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
They were in need of endurance, chapter 10. And it's at this point that we recognize every believer at times may need to be strengthened, to be set up again, to be restored in our thinking concerning our trials and what God is doing in those. He says, literally, you all strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And obviously, we apply this to ourselves first, but it should be applied to the body of Christ as a whole. So how do we apply this? How do we come alongside someone who has been immobilized by the difficulties that God has allowed? How do we do this? It's through the knowledge of the truth in a context to encourage someone to submit to God's work in their lives for their good. It's a renewal of the heart and mind concerning what a good and gracious and loving God is doing. We see here that we need to come alongside believers who are faltering in their trials. We need to share His word that they would have a changed mindset, to bring about confession if needed, to turn attention back to Jesus so that they will benefit. They will share in His holiness. Therefore, based on what God has revealed in His word, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. In every trial, we are tempted to falter, to be paralyzed with our walk. Remember what God has said. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Now, apart from God's word doing so in our hearts and a submitted heart, we're not going to be strengthened. We need to see things rightly. We need to come rightly before the Lord. We should come and strengthen. We should encourage the exhausted. Strengthen the feeble. Say to those anxious in heart, take heart, take courage, and fear not. God's doing a good thing. Have you come along a brother or sister in struggle and come and encourage them? Have you strengthened the knees that are feeble? Now, they may not respond, and that's a problem in and of itself. But the implication is that you are going to be able to strengthen true brothers. You're going to be able to set them back upright again, to come alongside them, to help them in the midst of their difficulties. Isaiah chapter 50. Let's look there. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. You know, we're all disciples of the Lord, and we have the word of God. We need to come alongside and strengthen the hands that are weak, knees that are feeble. We need to strengthen brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, those who are faltering in their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we want them to share in His holiness. We want them to experience the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And the only way is if they remember the exhortation and they understand and they turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to make that decision to do that. But then notice also we are to get back on track personally ourselves. Look at verse 13 in Hebrews chapter 12. And make straight paths for your feet. This is a command. In light of God's disciplinary actions that he is using to bless and benefit his children, do this. Make straight paths for your feet. Now, the term paths literally spoke of the tracks or grooves that a wheel would leave. They're wheel paths. So as a wheel on a chariot, whatever it might be, a wagon, those paths that it made were those paths. They were straight. And it says, make straight paths. Now, before we were commanded to strengthen those, set them aright, just do it. That's the tense and last command. Here, it is continually, habitually make straight paths for your feet. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to make straight paths for your feet? Well, obviously, the path of our feet speaks of the path of our life, the course, the direction we're going, right? It speaks of our behavior, the path of our feet, what we do on a daily basis. It seems to be an inspired paraphrase of Proverbs chapter 4. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And he says here, look at verse 20. I'm going to go back a little bit. My son, give attention to my words. This is Solomon speaking to his sons. Pay attention to the word of God. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them what? In the midst of your heart. Put God's word in your heart. Don't let it go away, right? Proverbs 4. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Well, that's where you're supposed to be keeping the word, right? Watch over your heart. Don't let the word escape. Think rightly. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Now notice this. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Make straight the paths of your feet. You see, Proverbs also has a lot of other passages in there. I'll read some concerning our way, our direction, the way we should live, the way we should go. Look back at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You see, you can't make straight the path of your feet unless the Lord is primary and you're trusting Him and allowing His Word to direct you. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then we see it says, and He will make your ways or your paths straight. You want straight paths? Trust the Lord with your entire heart. You want straight paths? You got to have the Word in your heart too, as we see. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and reproofs and discipline are the way of life. God's word directs your way. Proverbs 9, 6, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Proverbs 16, verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Think about your behavior. Proverbs 19, 16, he who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Proverbs 22, 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, but he who guards himself will be far from them. 23, 19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. 23, 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Our passage, make straight the path of your feet. Make straight the path of your feet. Make straight wheel tracks. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, very familiar passage. Joshua 1, verse 7, as the Lord encourages Joshua before they go into the land. Only be strong and what? Very courageous. That's the opposite of being weak and feeble, isn't it? Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your what? Your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you shall be careful to do according to all that is written within it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Make straight wheel paths. And the way we do so is by having God's word in our hearts, obeying it, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now to behave properly. We're not to respond sinfully to God's discipline. We're to behave properly. We are to get on track. We are to turn from evil and to do what is right. We are to make straight the path of our feet. We need to turn from evil and do what is right by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop sinning in your unbelief and your word forgetfulness, and recognize what God is doing through trials. Do not deviate to the left or the right. Make straight the path of your feet. Speaking of obedience. And the command here is for the whole body. You all do this. You all make straight continually, habitually. We all have a responsibility. So are you overwhelmed by your difficulties? Confess your sin. Renew your mind. Understand what God is doing. Be encouraged. Make straight the path of your feet. Get back to obeying the Lord. You see, it's so easy to stop obeying the Lord when we're in difficulties. Start complaining, start grumbling, start worrying. Get back. Get straight. Because we're going to see in a moment, if you're not straight, there are consequences. And it affects people around us. Get back on track. But notice, there's a reason. Look at the end of verse 13. So that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Very interesting statement. You see, there are great consequences for the believer who does not respond to God's exhortations. There are consequences. Make straight the path of your feet. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight the path of your feet, straight path, so that, there's a purpose, the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Now, as I mentioned before, these paths spoke of wheel tracks or grooves. And they were those in which people would follow. A wagon would go a certain way, and another wagon would follow those tracks. Make straight paths. Make straight grooves. You see, these grooves, which is our behavior in light here, can be spotted by others. Make straight tracks, so that the limb that is lame may not be put out of joint. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, the lame limb could speak of limp Christians, certainly, as we see, the weak lame, the term weaker brethren, whatever it might be, those who could be stumbled by our poor example, that's certainly possible. You know, Christians can be stumbled by other Christians. They could be put out of joint if we're not following the Lord right. There's certainly a reality of that. Possible. But I believe in context here, this is speaking of those most likely within this group of believers who had professed faith in Jesus, but had not truly come to Him yet. These were those who identified with the church, but had not trusted Christ. They were those who are continually warned about in the book of Hebrews. They've been convicted of sin. They've seen true faith in Christ. And they are tempted now not to trust Christ and to go back to Judaism. That's what's going on there. The term lame here speaks of being on the verge of being put out of joint for the lame. The word speaks of separation or dislocation. You see, I believe God has graciously warned these unbelievers throughout the book of Hebrews because He's patient, not willing for any to perish. Let's go back and look at some of the warnings throughout this book, which I think really help us understand this. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Let's just walk through these warnings up to our passage. You see, again, there were true believers in the midst of this body, but there were non-believers also who were about ready to turn away from the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You neglect this great salvation you've heard about, how are you going to escape? You're not. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. That means you can harden your heart. As when they provoked me in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where their fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. People who knew the truth, they're hanging out with believers, but they split, they leave. They leave the only truth that will save them. They leave the truth concerning the gospel. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, while the promise remains of entering His rest, lest any one of you should seem to have come short of it, to come short of being saved. He says, "For indeed we had the good news preached to us just as they," that's the Israelites, "but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard." Very serious stuff. Chapter 6, verse 4. "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit," hey, they got convicted, "and have tasted the word of God has worked in them." They haven't been saved yet. "And the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away." You walk away from the truth of the gospel after you've heard it, been convicted by it, guess what? You're in trouble. "It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." Chapter 9, 27, I'll just read this for you. "Inasmuch as it is appointed man once to die, and then comes the judgment." Go up to chapter 10, verse 26. All these warnings for people in the midst who claim to follow Jesus but don't know him and are on the verge of bagging it and taking off. 10:26, "For if we willfully go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. The fire of the fury which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy in the testimony of two or three witnesses." That's the old covenant. "How much more severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and regarded unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" And he goes on to talk about his vengeance and judgment. And then in our passage, which we'll see next week, chapter 12, verse 15, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that you don't receive his grace." And finally, one last exhortation, 12:25. "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven?" So throughout this book, there are those who are on the verge of being dislocated, separating from the Hebrews, turning away, being completely dislocated from the truth that could save them. God had warned over and over again not to reject Jesus. It's not simply being in church, but not to reject Jesus. And we are warned, I believe, not to be stumbling blocks. "Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be pulled out of joint, but rather healed." Your life is a witness. Your walk is a serious thing. You as a Christian who know the Lord going through difficulties, if you're not walking straight and obeying the Lord and not giving a good example in the context of trusting Christ, you're going to be something that stumbles, maybe someone around you who doesn't know Jesus. It's a serious thing. The term separation or put out of joint speaks of dislocation. One pastor says, "Sadly, Christians sometimes are the greatest stumbling blocks to Christianity. A bad example by a true believer can tilt a person away from full commitment to Christ and therefore from salvation. A poor testimony can cause irreparable harm, and many times even without knowing it. It can cause a limping unbeliever to be put out of joint completely, dislocated spiritually. God wants unbelievers to be healed, to be saved. It is not his will that any should perish." I think in light of the book of Hebrews, in light of this, it's a warning. Believers, get right your life. Understand what God is doing through discipline. Start walking rightly with the Lord, or you might be the cause of a lame limb being dislocated. So that, and God's desire, but notice what he says, the end of verse 13. But rather, he wants healing. He wants salvation. He wants them to come to faith. He's unwilling that any should perish. May it never be that our walk causes people to turn from Christ, to not be spiritually healed. You see, they're in our families, kids, teens, young adults who profess but yet don't truly know Jesus. And they're watching the wheel paths of our lives. There are those who have made a profession of faith but are faltering, ready to turn away from that profession. They truly haven't been saved yet. They haven't trusted Christ. May it never be that our wheel tracks cause them not to be spiritually healed, but rather they would be saved. Folks, our lives are a testimony to those around us, and we run the risk of stumbling people. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 as we finish up here. Matthew 5, and notice the context is in the midst of persecution. You see, it's when we're going through difficulty, our walk falters, and we need to be set up and straight so that we don't stumble people, right? It's during those difficulties we falter, but God wants to encourage us. He wants us to be strengthened. He's doing good, even in the difficulties and through the difficulties. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. The salt means its flavor, right? You know, if you eat eggs and don't have salt in it, they're not flavorful. You put some salt in there, there's flavor, right? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become flavorless or tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. There is a huge exhortation here, folks, for us to get our wheel tracks straight, to see God's discipline right, to see Him as a loving, gracious, wonderful God doing good, rather than being all caught up and worried and anxious and fearful and all this stuff, making tracks that are all over the place where people look and say, is that real Christianity? Is that trust in Jesus Christ? Is that real faith? I don't want any part of that. What kind of God is that? Folks, make straight the paths of your feet. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the limbs that are feeble. He says, and make straight the paths of your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint. In the church, there are some lame limbs. They don't work at all. They don't have any life in them, just like someone's lame leg. They don't have life, but they're about to be separated. We need to make straight the paths of our feet so that those who are about to fall away would turn back and trust in Jesus Christ. So then, how are we to respond to God's loving discipline, God's purposeful discipline that He allows? First of all, we're to strengthen the hands that are weak and the limbs that are feeble. Go alongside, come alongside brothers and sisters and encourage them with the Word of God. Be strong, fear not. Be strong in the Lord. He's doing good in your life. Be built up. It's okay. It's a good thing. God is doing good. It's all going to be good in what He's doing. He works everything together for good. Strengthen them. But then we need to get our walks right. Make straight the paths of our feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. When you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, I've heard it said that in order to live the Christian life, we must recognize that God has a part and we have a part. Is that an accurate statement?
You know, Dave, it is and it isn't. You see, because God has provided for us everything we need for the Christian life. It is all by Him. But we need to be willing to act upon that and to accept it and by His power and strength obey His word. You see, although the Lord does everything in us, we're not simply passive observers. As we've learned today, we are to, through faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to His word, make our path straight. And within that, we're going to be a manifestation of the life of Christ to those around us. And that work of Christ, obviously, is a powerful testimony. Now, friend, if your life is not representing Christ with integrity and righteousness, I would ask you to repent of your sin today and ask the Lord to forgive you. And then commit to walking in obedience by His power and strength, allowing Him to make your path straight and give you the ability to live a life that is a shining testimony for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.